For God so loved the world that He gave. And He just didn't give anything, but He gave His only Son. And I love this word, for whosoever, that's you, that's me, that were sinners, if we would believe, we could have everlasting life. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 1 this morning. 1 Peter 1 verse number 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, the elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You may be seated this morning. Father, thank You for the good Spirit of God that's amongst us this morning. Lord, if You've nudged me now in this time of preaching, I pray that the Spirit of God would magnify the precious Son of God in this time. Lord, teach me in these last days of preaching to magnify and exalt the precious Son of God. Thank You for this good family that's come. I thank You for the hand of God that is about them. Help us now these few brief moments. Would You help us to realize what You've done for us and are doing? In Jesus' name I pray and I ask You, amen and amen. I want to preach this morning out of 1 Peter 1 and 1 to the strangers scattered. And I want to preach on this simple topic today on we're not home yet. We're not home yet. Now, let's get some Bible preaching and take the Word of God at what it says this morning. First of all, you'll note in verse number 1, there is an introduction that is taleful. An introduction that is taleful. It's telling something. The Bible said that Peter was an apostle of Jesus Christ. There we see in this introduction, there are the sent ones. Now the apostle simply means sent ones with a message or with a touch. We know there were only 12 apostles. The signs and the gifts of the apostles are long gone. For now we have the complete Word of God. There is no man that has the gifts of healing, but God is the healer. We no longer look for signs, but we have the completed Word of God. For in this introduction that is so telltale, we see the sent ones. The Apostle Peter. Boy, how God used a failure to shine bright in that hour. Can I tell you, it doesn't matter what you've done or what I've done. The blood of Jesus can wash us all clean this morning. Isn't it amazing? God took a doubter. God took a disputer. God took a denier and brought him to preach the gospel, and thousands were saved. That's just like our God. You can't figure him out. He uses the least likely. You may be here today and say, well, God cannot use me. Honey, don't downplay God. God can do anything with anybody this morning. So we see this introduction that is tearful. We see the sent ones. But secondly, we see the scattered ones. You'll notice he said that we were strangers scattered. God has scattered us all around this country. But there are no accidents with God. For there is a sovereign God that sets those in the body that pleases Him. It's no accident that you walked in here this morning. It's no accident where you work or go to school. God has His young'uns scattered abroad. In Acts chapter number 8, they were scattered in a great dispersion. But God used that great crisis to get His gospel out. And my friend, in this introduction, not only do we see the sent one, not only do we see the scattered ones, but you'll notice there are the strange ones. He says, strangers scattered. I want to remind you, child of God, this is not my home. This world is crazy. I'm a stranger in a strange land. I'm a fish out of water. But thank God I'm in my element this morning, where the people of God are gathered together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm glad the Holy Ghost lives in me. I'm glad God sent His Son to pay the price for all of us this morning. And oh, there's an introduction that is tearful. But secondly, in 1 Peter, not only do you find an introduction that is tearful, but you'll find there is information that is truthful. He said in verse 2, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now this information that is truthful. Watch your Bible. I won't preach long this morning. First of all, you'll note in verse 2, there was the sovereign watching. We that are saved by the grace of God today, we did not take God by surprise the day we got saved. You hear me and hear me well. There's a sovereign God that's sitting on this throne, and Washington is not running God. God is still on His throne. And I look way back in my childhood moments when things should have happened and I died. But there was a God that was looking about me. I can tell you time after time where the sovereign God was watching over me. I'm glad there's a God way out in the shadows that's been watching over us. There are no instances. There are no circumstances. There's a God that has set your path and my path, and we have a decision to believe upon Him. I remember as a young boy, My granddaddy let me go rabbit hunting with his 12-gauge single barrel. I was about 11 years old. And Brother Daniel, that gun kicks the bad. It shot at both ends. Somebody say amen. They taught me to unbridge that gun and carry it over my shoulder for safety purposes. But there was a problem with that. Mama had a towel stuck in my coat because the gun kicked so bad. When a rabbit got up, I had to bridge the gun up, back the hammer, and get it on that towel. And why declare that rabbit, he has done back through the cedar thicket. So I decided upon myself what I'd do. I thought I'd take and bridge that gun up. I remember one day I'd bridged it up. They'd just put metal gates in the pasture in them days. I went across that gate, Brother David. I put that hammer shotgun across that gate. That hammer hit that metal gate, and my life flashed before my eyes. The muzzle of that gun nearly burnt my face. I look back now as an older man. I say, thank you, dear God, that you was a-looking about me when nobody else was a-looking. There's been car wrecks. There's been accidents. But, honey, there's been a God that spared this preacher. I say, thank you, dear God, that you was a look at when nobody else was a look at. I ought to be in hell this morning. That crowd I was running with that didn't care. All they wanted is what I had. But one day God sent His Son because He loved me. I thank God this morning there's a sovereign God that's been a-watching. Hallelujah. Whoop. Hallelujah. Oh. Oh. Thank you. Thank you, you as a watch. I remember I was about Parker's age. I went to get the cows up with a boy. And Dew was on the running board of the tractor. I was riding on the tractor and he was a-driving. Brother David, he hit a bump, a terrace row. And I remember that my feet slipped and I went under that tractor tire. And somehow, some way, a 15-year-old boy grabbed me by the nape of the neck and pulled me back on that tractor. You say, was that an accident? No! It was a God that was watching about me when I wasn't watching Him. You see, there's a sovereign God that's watching. The word foreknowledge means God seen way ahead. Aren't you glad, God? God don't need glasses. God don't go see the eye doctor. God sees way out ahead of what we need and who we are and where we are. The information that is truthful. The sovereign is watching. But watch secondly in the Bible. There's the Spirit's wooing. The elect according to the foreknowledge of God. He's talking about how we got saved now. He said, the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. I want to elaborate on this Spirit's wooing. You see, a lot of people think, well, you can just get saved anytime you want to. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that a person can only be saved when the Spirit of God is dealing with them. The Bible said, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now you listen to me and listen well. You better be glad one day the Spirit wooed you to the family of God. There was a man asked me last night, said, Brother Ken, do you believe people can resist the Spirit of God? Why, sure I believe that. I remember down in Muscadine, Alabama, I was preaching a revival there one week as a young preacher. Man, the power of God was on that place. There's some of you sitting here this morning that got saved in that meeting. I remember there was a lady sitting on the back. She had long black hair with her husband. She had on a white blouse. Brother Mike, the power of God is there, and I preached. I gave an invitation, and the Spirit of God was a-dealing with that lady. She was a-shaking that pew. I sang a verse, Brother David, and looked on the second verse. She had begun weeping, and her makeup had run down her blouse. She was holding on to the pew. And far as I know, she never turned loose and got saved. What are you holding on to this morning? There's a God that loves you, and the Spirit of God that's dealing with you. You ought to open up your heart and say, "Come inside, Lord, and save me a sinner this morning." You see, you must come with the Spirit's wooing. I've met people time after time that, as it seemed, the Spirit of God was dealing with them, but yet they never responded to God by faith. This morning, this information that is truthful, the Sovereign was watching. The Spirit was wooing. But look in the third part of that verse, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's the Savior's wounds. Can I tell you, it's still the blood of Jesus this morning. I've heard people say, "Well, Brother Ken, how can you build a ministry? How can you build a church in 2018 still preaching on the blood?" Honey, let me tell you, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. When we take blood out of our message, when we take blood out of our songs, we are as a tinkling cymbal. It takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash us from our sins. Thank God He died for you and me. You see, this verse 2 is so loaded. You'll notice in this information that is truthful. The Sovereign is watching. The Spirit is wooing. The Savior is wounding. But then look at the sinner's witness. How do you find balance in that verse, Brother Ken? It looks like it's all God. Well, let me tell you something. We better believe that God's been the majority and not the minority. I'm glad God wanted us to be saved. Now look at the sinner's willingness. The Bible said the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience of the sprinkling of the blood. You had to want to get saved. But I can tell you this. Some of you this morning, you'd like to be saved. The Spirit of God's dealing with you. Then why don't you be willing to accept what Christ has done for you on the cross and come as a repentant sinner and ask God to save you? You see, the Bible brings balance. For we see in this verse 2, there's information that is truthful. Now watch your Bible. This is a wonderful thing. There's the Sovereign watching. There's the Spirit wooing. There's the Savior wounding. There's the sinner wanting. But then look what he says. He says something here in the last part of this verse. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. There's salvation working. Grace and peace. Do you see that he mentioned grace before peace? He picked up on this, no doubt, from Paul's writings. Paul always wrote grace and peace. Never peace and grace, because without the grace of God, you'll never have peace. Salvation working. Now look what it says. This is where we need to get a hold of this verse as a church body. As your pastor, I need to drive this point home to close this sermon. Grace and peace be multiplied. It's up to us how much of it we want. God has paid the price. Why are we so downtrodden and weary-minded? God's paid the price. We've experienced the grace of God. Can I explain to you what the grace of God is? The grace of God is simply this. God dealing with a sinner, offering him His Son. Aren't you glad He didn't put the law on us? The law brings death. Any offender of the law had to be killed or stoned. But when Jesus came and paid the price, He paid the price that God applied. And therefore, Jesus does not bring the law, but He brings grace. And grace brings peace. Do you have peace? I'm glad I've got living peace. He said, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know that you're saved, and God wants you to enjoy your salvation. Grace and peace be multiplied. And church, this is what God wants us to do. God wants us to minister grace to people. Why do you want to chew people out when they make mistakes and they don't do exactly what you think they ought to be doing? That's really focusing more upon you than them. You see, we must minister grace to people. Give them time. Give them our prayers. Give them our heart and help them in their struggles. And then He said, grace and peace be multiplied. Aren't you glad He's the peace giver? Can I tell y'all something this morning, because I'm going to anyway? Can I tell you, this week has been turmoil in my spirit and in my mind, but I've got more help being in this service this morning. When the Spirit of God comes by and touches my heart, He gives me a peace that passes all understanding. Now I close. I want Brother Brady and them to come back. And Brother Brady, whatever y'all want to sing, I want you to come. I want you to sing this invitation song for me. And I want to give a special invitation today. There's an introduction that is tellful. There's information that is truthful. But verse 3, there's an investment that is thankful. This is what Peter said. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. Aren't you glad He didn't have to look for mercy? He is mercy. Aren't you glad we didn't get justice, but mercy? According to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Otherwise, we've been created again. We've been birthed in the family of God. We've been born again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Look at the praise of the investment. Blessed. Church, you'll never go wrong praising Him. You know what the devil will tell your preacher? The house is filled. There's people here who never been to church. You better hold it down. No. No, the devil's a liar. And if there's anybody that ought to be praising God as God's people, saying, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. You see, this investment that is thankful, the praise of the investment, the passion of the investment, abundant mercy. I came to God. It took abundant mercy for me. Do you hear me? I would steal. I'd lie. I was doing a lot of things I'm so ashamed of today and haunts me today in my mind. But I've been saved. Forgiven. My name's written down yonder in glory world. There's the praise of His investment, the passion of His investment, But the proof of His investment, watch this. He's begotten us again to a lively hope. Isn't it amazing how your flesh gets so tired and you can get in a good service and all of a sudden something goes to springing up inside of you? And Jesus is coming. I'm getting older. I'm going to die. I'm going to leave this world. But I've got a better place to go to. Do you? God loves us. He sent His Son. And as much as I can read the Bible, it's just for one reason I can find why He did. Because He loved us. And I'm glad He did.